Okay, let's begin Perek Chaf Aleph. There's actually a decent chance we'll actually finish this entire chapter in one time, which has not happened in many, many chapters before, but we can certainly try our best. And we should also have, in addition to our packet, we also have a little map to be able to see where David is running off to next. Let's just begin with Pasuk Aleph. V'yakam v'yelach v'yonasan ba'ir. That David doesn't mention his name, but we know that he got up and he went, and Yonasan ba'ir. He was in the city. He came to the city. Now, one of the reasons why, as the Masudas David immediately picks up, that it is someone that we know, he says, Al David Yomar, we're talking about David. But perhaps the reason why we did not mention his name is because he didn't want everyone in the world to know who he was and where he was going. Because after all, it's at this point, as we saw last week, because of the episode of the shooting of the arrows, it was now 100% apparent and clear that Shaul the king wanted his neck. He was going to kill him. So he didn't want to tell anyone where he was running off to. Here he was sitting in a field for a few days. We're going to see how he's starving to death, literally. And he doesn't want anyone to know his whereabouts. He wants to find a really, really good hiding spot. So let's see where he chooses. We know in the past he hasn't been so good at choosing places. First time he ran away, he went straight for the prophet to Shmuel, and everyone knew exactly where he was. Let's see if he finds a better spot. Pasuk Beis. V'yavo David Noveh el Achimelech HaKohen. So David went to a place called Noveh, or also called Nov, which is called Nov Ir HaKohanim. Only Kohanim lived there. We're going to see 85 to be exact. And this was a little city filled with Kohanim. And there was the great Kohen Achimelech. Vayecharad Achimelech likras David. And usually when you see someone of a great stature, you'd be honored to see them. And someone that maybe you like and is a good person, you'd be very happy to see. But here the pasuk says, Vayecharad Achimelech likras David. He was petrified when he saw him. Vayomerlo, and he immediately said, Madua ato levadecha. Why are you here all by yourself? It's very strange, v'ish ein itach, that there's no other person together with you. And if we see the Masudas David over here in Pasuk Bet, Madua ato levadecha, he says, she'ein meharo'oi wasarva gadol lelechas yechidi. Someone who is a great, powerful person has a little entourage that follows him or her. Can imagine that you're going to just walk down the street, you go to your local 7-Eleven, and there's George W. getting a Slurpee. That would be very unlikely, and you'd be like, hey, what are you doing here? It's strange. So he was completely shocked out of his mind to have seen David.
But the fact that he said, Vayecharad, does that indicate something else even? I mean, you know, it could have been a word, he was surprised. Is that...
Right. And because... It seems a little bit more of a dramatic reaction. Just all right. So what? He came by himself. Big deal. You know, he doesn't need to have his limo driver every single place he goes. So it's brought down that one of the reasons why he was really shocked was not only the person that he saw, but the day that he saw him. He saw him on Shabbos. So what's the big deal? See, you come to shul on Shabbos. Every person you see, v'yecharad, you have to be afraid. Well, the problem is that David traveled from one city to the next on Shabbos, which clearly is against the spirit and is a violation of the observance of Shabbos properly, and Menucha Shabbos. And therefore, Achimelech knew that there was something seriously wrong. David probably kept Shabbos. You know, he's a righteous guy. He's a tzaddik. So Shabbos was probably the things on his to-do list. So it's very strange that he would not keep Shabbos. Can you imagine? A great tzaddik comes into your city, you know, driving, you know, you pull out, walk out of shul on Saturday morning, and some guy just jumps out of their car and happens to be, you know, some great tzaddik, great gadol. Doesn't make any sense. The obvious reason why must be there's something seriously wrong. We know that a person is allowed to be mechal Shabbos under certain circumstances, including pikuach nefesh, life and death situations. You know, when it comes, my third child was born on Shabbos, so we hopped in the taxi and off we went. You know, and afterwards I went to shul on Shabbos. It was unusual. But that's, of course, you have to do that. You have to be Mechal Shabbos. There's no question. But that's only because of Pikuach Nefesh. It's a serious life and death situation. So when Achimelech saw David on Shabbos traveling, he knew that there must have been something that his life was at risk. And therefore, because of this, he was afraid. He was not only afraid of David, he was afraid of himself. Because he realized that if in fact he potentially could be killed, or he has a warrant out for his arrest, he can't allow him to stay in his city. Right? He'd have to tell everyone where he is. And if he would somehow aid him and protect him and help him out, give him food and shelter, what's going to probably happen to Achimelech? He'll be killed. What may happen to his entire city? They'll be killed. The entire city will be wiped out. Which is, by the way, precisely what happens. We're going to see that Nov Ir HaKohanim, this city, is going to be destroyed by Shaul because, as we're going to see, not in this chapter, but we're going to see that because the help that he provides for David, and that's informed to the king, Shaul considers that reason enough to wipe out the entire city, which is an unbelievable thing, which we'll get to in greater detail, what right he had to do that as a king, to destroy an entire city. But nonetheless, we can understand now the idea of why he was so afraid to have seen David. Okay.
How do we know about it? How do they get it that he went on Shabbos? What word? Vayacharad?
No. But we're going to see it later on. We're going to see this later on because he's going to be so hungry that he's going to need food at this place. And one of the things that was in Nov, this is before, of course, the construction of the base of Mikdash, David's son does that. They had the lechem aponim, the showbreads. And those showbreads were divided on Shabbos. And we're going to see that he's going to say, give me some of those showbreads. So we're going to basically behind the story, behind the scenes, it must have been on Shabbos that this whole episode transpired. So that's doesn't say that here, but that's inferred later on. Okay, let's move on to the next pasuk, the pasuk Gimel. Vayomer David l'Achimelech. So David said to this Achimelech, the Kohen, Hamelech tzivani hadavam. I know you're scared, you don't know why I'm here by myself, strange. Don't be so nervous all the time. The king commanded me to do this. So Yomer Elayin said to me, Yishal yedam uma es hadavar shanochi sholichacha. I do not want a single person to know the reason why I've sent you, Vasher Sivisicha, the reason why I'm commanded to do a certain mission. I'm on a king's mission, I'm on a king's role, and I'm supposed to do it secretively, no one's supposed to know anything. And if you want to know why there's no one else around with me, there's Anarim Yodati El Mikom Ploni Almoni. The place over there, I'm going to be meeting my group, my entourage, my posse is going to meet me later on. But it's interesting that not only does he not tell him the mission, but when he says the place where he's going to meet his whole group is Ploni Almoni. And Rashi explains, what does that mean? Almoni Miayin Sham. Almoni means from where is this, right? Similar to, like, yes, exactly. But it means just some guy. Right. We don't even mention his name. Just Ploni Almoni. It's just Mr. and Mrs. Jones, right? Smith.
So-and-so,
exactly. Shenu Chafetz Lahaskir Kidavar Sesehu. Say, I can't tell you the name of this place because, if we tell you the secret, we'll have to kill you, you know? So we can't tell you the secret mission. I can't even tell you where I'm going to be meeting my guys. No one, nothing. And Mesuda Sion tells us, thank you, Almoni is Meloshin Elaim, as we picked up before. Elaim is someone who cannot talk, who's mute. V'ratzalomer ein l'galus ha'mokom l'omra. I cannot reveal to you the place where I'm supposed to go. Ki elaim lo yiftach piv. Just like an elaim, someone who's mute, literally cannot open up his mouth. He can't speak. So it's the same thing. I have to be ploni almoni. Almoni comes from the word silent, because I cannot tell you this very secretive place. Okay.
The word almona is spelled with an al, and almona with an al. Isn't that interesting?
So what is the connection of an almona?
Maybe a woman alone doesn't have a voice. Almona is a man.
Is an orphan.
Yeah. I was thinking when they're
almona is a widow.
A widow.
Alman is a widower.
Right.
Almana is
it's the same
widower.
Word. Uh-huh. It's the same word. And one of the customs maybe of someone who's in a velus is you're supposed to have something round and something which does not have an opening. And the reason for that is why there should not be an opening is because just like an ovil does not have a mouth, does not speak, is silenced, so too that's how what the food represents, that the person has stunned silence. And we also find this by when Aaron's two children tragically died, it says V'yidom Aaron, he was quiet. And that's what happens. The person doesn't know what to say. You can't rationalize the tragedy that had happened to the person. So maybe that's the idea of an almana.
They also has an opening.
Right. But it's a hole. Right. It's whole, but it has a hole. Right, so it's still allowed for lechem mishnah, but it has a hole. Okay. Anyway, so I can't tell you this information. So the obvious question is, David, a great man, a great tzaddik. Okay, he was Mechal Shabbos. Forget about that part. But he had a right to do that. He's a liar? He's lying? What's going on here? David was lying because of the tremendous sensitivity he had for another human being. Because if he told him the absolute truth, and then this guy would take care of him, then in fact, he himself would also be Morad B'Malchus. He'd be rebelling against the king by allowing David to stay in his little city. So him saying, no, there's nothing wrong. So him now being able to protect him, first of all, he's doing it for himself, selfishly this way, because otherwise he probably wouldn't help him. But also, this way, if the king would find out, and he would hear. What?
It didn't help.
At the end, we're going to see it didn't matter. But at least David went through all the motions to try to make sure that he'd be saved. But you're right, at the end, an angry Shaul, this angry king who wants to kill David, didn't do anything wrong either. In fact, you're right, did not help. Okay. Pasuk Dal. Biata. And now. Ma yesh tachas yadcha. What do you have under your hand? Chamisha lechem tenom yadi. If you have five loaves of bread, give it to my hands. O hanimsa. Or whatever you find. I'm starving to death. Whatever you have, I'll take. I'm not going to be a beggars can't be choosers. But please give me five. Okay? Now, some interpret the word biata and now is also a hint to Shabbos. Because he's saying, okay, I was Mechal Shabbos because I had to run away. But now that I'm here, I'm not going to desecrate the Sabbath. I'm not going to bake bread on Shabbos. And now I have nothing to eat. V'yata, and now give me something to eat. If it was on a Monday or on a Tuesday, I would just go to the local store. I would go and bake some food. But V'yata, now, because it's Shabbos, Ma'yish Tachas Yonchel, whatever you have, just please give to me because I'm starving. Now, one of the unbelievable interpretations of this whole story of the destruction of the city Nov, Ir HaKohanim, is who was the person who was responsible? Well, probably the person who pulled the trigger, maybe, or the king who commanded them to do so. The Chazal tell us an unbelievable statement, and that statement is the person who was held responsible for the destruction of Nov, Ir HaKohanim was Yonasan. Yonasan? Yonasan wasn't even there. Yonasan not only was not even there, he saved the very life of David by protecting him and hiding him.
But he sent him up there and give him no provisions.
Exactly. Because he did not provide the proper provisions, say the Oderach, exactly. Therefore, Yonasan indirectly was responsible. Even though Yonasan was so busy running to tell him to you better run away, that he maybe didn't even have enough time to gather enough food, but still he was held on his great level responsible. Some explain that's the significance of what he asked for. Chamisha lechem. Five breads. What is that? So, Chazal tell us that when it comes to a guest, you as the host or hostess is responsible to do five things for your guest. You're supposed to give them food, drink, place to sleep. Okay, that's while you're in the house. But afterwards, you're supposed to give them provisions for the road, and you're also supposed to escort them a bit out of your home. Whatever that means. A little bit outside for the city, or at least give them the proper directions where the next city is. And the fact is that this dove is alluding to these five things. Give me these five things now, v'atah, because it wasn't given to me before. And we also see this in other halachot when it comes to, for example, the story of the Egel Arufa, the famous unsolved mystery, the homicide. They have a person who is in between two cities. That they have to measure where the remains are closer to which city. And there they have a whole ceremony of taking a calf and they bring it to the valley, and there it is destroyed, an animal that never worked. And it's brought down the reason why this person died. Who killed him? Probably some bandits on the road. But the person who is to blame are the Zikne'ir, the elders of that city, or the people in that community that should have provided provisions and escorted him to on a safer route. Probably the fact that he was murdered in the forest in the middle of nowhere was because he had no idea where he was going. He was a vulnerable tourist, and because of this, he was easily susceptible to attack. And therefore, because of this, also we see the idea of how responsible we as hosts and hostess must be to provide for our guests.
But Johannes may have had some conflict. If he'd taken along provisions, the young boy would have seen that. Wouldn't there have been suspicion about some of this?
You're right. It's true. I don't know. It's a good question. It certainly seems justified for that reason. And because what I said before, he ran out immediately wasn't true, because he waited until the next morning in order not to cause that suspicion. But maybe he could have done something, who knows, to have provided some type of food for him. Maybe not a huge meal, but something he could have stuck in his coat, who knows. He didn't give him anything. He was starving.
Right. He had to do this, you understand?
Right.
I would say the person who's responsible for
Shaul. Right. That's certain. He certainly is responsible. I think what Chazal is telling us is not that Shaul is not responsible, but it's coming to tell us that also we have to be so extra sensitive to that, even ourselves, we have to take some responsibility as well. But that's. But certainly the one who did the act, or who gave the commandment, he's the one who's ultimately responsible. But nonetheless, we also could take a little bit of the blame as well. If David would have been able to have had enough food, he wouldn't have necessarily run to the city, where he knew he'd be able to get a nice, you know, it was like a soup kitchen, which he was trying to get some good food. And unfortunately, because of him having to go there and them helping him, Shaul ended up wiping out the entire city.
This is why we give leftovers to our children, so they can get home safely. That
could be. That's also why they call every 5 minutes on the cell phone while you're driving. That's right. And when they get home, you have to call also, right?
Yeah. So right. Maybe that's a little message from the
story. That's right. So, can't hurt. Pasukhei. But Yanar Kohen as David, so the Kohen, I'm not even mentioning his name anymore, but we know who it is, it's Achimelech. He said to David, "Wow, you're in such an incredible mission, and I see that you're very hungry. It's only befitting probably to give you some food, but the problem is, but Yomer ain lechem chol. We do not have any lechem chol, as Mesudas Sion is chulin, non-sacred food. Because after all, this was a city of all Kohanim. All they did was eat truma, and all this in Kodesh and Kodshim, all these holy foods. So I don't have any of your this type of food. El tachas yadi, underneath my hands. Ki im lechem kodesh yesh. All I have is holy food. Im nishmu hanarim ach meisha. Now the problem is that if you are ritually impure, if you're tameh, then you are not allowed to partake of kodesh. You're not allowed to eat all these foods. So therefore, I'm concerned if I'm able to give you this food. Now, what exactly is this holy bread? What's so, right? So maybe a bagel, right? A holy bread. So Mesudas David says that the lechem kodesh is referring to lechem hapanim hayu, on the shulchan, the showbread, of the 12 showbreads. He was asking for 5, which, you know, is a decent amount, or as much as he can get. So that obviously is kodesh, because it's in the Kodesh itself. That's the name of the place where the Shulchan rested. So because of this is what he was saying. I can't give you all this food unless your servants are spiritually and ritually clean. That's what he said. He asked, "In Nishma Hanari, are the lads who are hanging out with you, are they pure?" Now the problem was that why was he all petrified and scared, as Mesudas David said before? It's because he was all by his lonesome. Yeah, and he told them he wasn't even with them. So one explanation would mean, give me food so that when I'll be able to eventually see them, I'll be able to give myself food and for them food. Another explanation is brought down over here on page 139 in English, It says as follows, that although, I underlined it somewhere, yeah, although Achimelech spoke of David's attendants, he really meant David himself as well, but as a matter of respect and delicacy, he did not mention David directly, and there David understood. So he didn't want to say, David, you great man, maybe you're Tomei. And that would be a disgraceful thing to say to a great man. So he said, maybe some of your servants, and he obviously understood, speaking in this indirect way, he was actually asking him himself. Now, David, who would be in a normal, straight-thinking set of mind, would probably know the answer. Like, what are you, you're asking me if I'm Tommy or Tahar? I'm David Amel, I'm David, I'm going to be a great man, I'm a king. But he was so hungry that maybe he wasn't thinking rationally, he just needed to eat. So he was trying to say, 1 second, you realize that you might not be pure, maybe you shouldn't eat it. So that's the reason why he told him. Okay, moving on now to the next pasuk above. Look what David answers. Vayan David as a kohen. So David answers Vayomer lo, and he says, Ki'im isha tzura lanu kidmol shel shom, that we were away from our wives or any other form of possibility of becoming impure. B'seisi, when we left, Vayu klei ha'na'orim kodesh, and the clay, all the vessels, literally, the vessels of the lads are holy, which means it's referring to their garments. Everything about us is holy. V'hu derech chol. And this is the derech chol, which means that this is the way we always act. We always eat as though, even our chulin, even our non-holy foods, we will only eat them with purity. We're very cautious to eat only while we are tahar. V'af ki hayom yikdash, and also today we remain holy, bakeli, in our, just here, in our proper vessel. Which means our clothing, ourselves, everything is completely pure. Fork over the food, I'm starving, please, help us out over here. So, we look at the Radak, going back to page 138 for a moment. The Radak says, V'af ki hayom yikdash bakeli. So the Radak says on the very bottom of the page, perish, what does that mean? Kol shekein hayom, certainly today. Sheyei imanu lechem kodesh, that today we have holy food in front of us, lechem upon him, showbreads. Chenishmer lo, we're going to certainly protect ourselves and guard ourselves. V'nizhar shehei b'kedushasa b'kele, that we're going to make sure that while we eat it, we are going to eat it only with the utmost levels of sanctity. And the Rashi echoes this by saying, also on the same page, "Vayu klei hanorim kodesh taharim." When it means kodesh, it means that we're pure and therefore we're fit to be able to eat of this food. And we continue on page 140. The Radak tells us, jumping down, it's a little bit down, even though it's for Pasuk Zayin. I want to see this now. The question is, okay, you are holy. But all these guys are Kohanim. I can't, even the holiest person in the world, most pure individual, you cannot eat, walk in there and just start eating lechem upon him. You have to be a Kohen or whatever. So what rights does he have to feed all these attendants this bread? So, and himself. So the Radak says, the Amru, Shiachsu LaDavid Choyli, that David was very sick. Hanikra Bulmus, and the name of the illness was Bulmus, which was Machmas Ra, unbelievable hunger that he was having. The Emelcha Davar Shomid Bifnei Pikuach Nefesh, Elvodus Lilim, or Elvodus Kachavim, Vigilia Rias, Vishvichas Damin. The big three, the only things, the cardinal sins, the only things that a person must never do, even if confronted with the option of death. You are supposed to give up your life. You have to understand those laws probably in great detail. But nonetheless, those are the only exceptions. When it comes to idol worship or adultery or murder, those are the only times you can give up your life. But when it comes to eating lechem abanim, when it comes to being chil shalmas, gobble up. Eat up whatever you need. Do whatever you need to do to be able to save your life. So the Radak is explaining that this was the situation of David. And therefore, David was more than happy to take this food. But nonetheless, he still was being asked, should you only eat it while you're pure? The reality is, even if he wasn't pure, he would be allowed to eat it. But nonetheless, David, who was such an incredible tzaddik, told him that I will only eat it while I'm pure. In fact, that is exactly what I am. Okay. Fine. All right, let's continue with Pasuk Zayin on the top of page 140. V'yitin lo ha-kohen kodesh. So the Kohen made, in retrospect, a huge mistake. Because he gave him the food. And they weren't the only two people around, as we're going to see in a second. Ki lo ha-yasham lechem. There was no other bread there. Ki im lechem upon him, except for the lechem upon him, the showbreads. Ha-musarim lefnei Hashem, which are given over from God. Lo-asum lechem chom biyom hilakach hilakachom. With regard to this bread, that always remained warm from the day that it was taken, because it's spoken about the lechem upon him, which was distributed to the kohanim. There were different mishmarot that they used to have different. Kohanim didn't work every single week; they used to have different shifts, and they would work on a weekly basis. And you'd work for 1 week, and at the end of by Shabbos, six of the loaves would go to the mishmar who was leaving, and six would go to the mishmar that was coming in. So that's what would happen on the Shabbos, where the breads would be distributed as such. But the miracle was that it always remained lechem chom, remained fresh, warm, just like it was right out of the oven. When I was in
regular bread, or was it like matzah?
It was regular bread. When it comes to there was another explanation which I glossed over, which was on 139, that it was lachmi toda for the Thanksgiving, and the toda offering had bread. Some of them were matzah, and some of them were bread, and that's the reason why, when looking in the Siddur, we do not say the paragraph of mizmor l'soda, erev Pesach and Pesach, because part of the toda offering was bread, and so you couldn't bring it. So us saying it, we're not allowed to say it either. In lieu of the Beis Hamikdash, that's why we say these tefillos.
But Rabbi, you glossed over that. Here it says that that's permitted to give unto David.
The toda.
Yeah,
right. So that would make more sense. Why it would be easier for him to be able to eat it.
No, but that's why I'm confused when you said it was a chet in the way.
No, he didn't make a mistake as far as he didn't do anything halachically wrong. I'm saying as far as him eventually being killed and wiped out by the king. Because the king is going to have found out that he was assisting David. That's what I meant. That's what he didn't do anything wrong at all. No, he absolutely did absolutely nothing wrong. In fact, he was perhaps his biggest mistake was asking him the question, gee, you shouldn't eat this, you should have given it to him immediately, you shouldn't have asked him. He should have immediately given it to him. But we don't find anyone speaking about that as a negative thing that he did. Okay. Alright. So, let's move on. Okay, let's continue with Pasuk Ches. V'sham ish mi'avdi shol. We said they were not alone. There was another person, Mi'avdi Shaul. Unfortunately, the person who was there also was very good friends with a nice guy, or not such a nice guy, by the name of Shaul the king. B'yomahu, on that day, Netzar lifnei Hashem. Netzar, why did I underline it? It's because the Masudah Sion says, Mu'ukav, he was held back. He stayed in front of Hashem there. This guy, whoever, we're going to see who it is, stayed in this place. Ushmo Doeg Ha'adomi. His name was Doeg, from Edom. Abir Haroim Asher Ushal. Abir, Mr. Nassian says he's a very Indian Chosek, brought to the Lomer Gadol L'Choshev, a very great, powerful person among the servants of Shaul. So he, Doeg, was there watching this entire conversation, dialogue transpire in front of him. So the question is, let's continue. Let's go into Rashi. Rashi says on in Pasuk Ches, Netzar lifnei Hashem. What was he doing then? Why was he there? Was he a spy? Was he going to kill David? Now Oter Atzmo lifnei Ol Moed. The reason why he was by the tent of meeting, La'asuk b'Torah. He was a holy man, even though, again, it's unbelievable. We think about Shaul, it's not black and white. This guy, it's not that simple. You know, he's not either a Rasha or a Tzaddik. Things aren't that simple. And this guy, Doeg, which he's also going to be instrumental in giving over the information to the king to have the entire nation wiped out, this entire city. He was busy learning Torah there. He wanted to stay there as a spiritual connection. And Rashi continues and says, Abir Haroi means he was Av Bestin. He was the head of the court system. He was a very powerful person who was there involved in a spiritual spiritual connection, spiritual pursuit to Hashem.
What does it mean he's Edom? He's from Edom?
Oh, so...
Is he Jewish?
Or is he a regular Edom?
Yeah, was he a Ginger? Right.
So... When it says that he was Doi Kladomi, right, there's a few interpretations what that means. Did I underline somewhere where it is? Okay. One of the explanations, in fact, is that it comes to tell us that's the name of the place. That's where he lived. That's one explanation. Iro Nikra Adomi. That's where he came from. I'm reading from the Yalkut, which is not found here. Another explanation, according to Rav Shmuel, he says, Al Shekinah B'David, he had such jealousy and anger toward David, Shenikra Admoni, that David was considered to be Edom, because we know that when David was born, just like Esav, he was red, right? So when it says that he was Doeg Hadomi, he was the Doeg who was completely consumed, that his whole name represents David. His whole focus was on wiping out David. Another explanation by the name of Rav Abba, the son of Kahana, he says, Al Shehiter Daman Shel Nov Ir HaKohanim. Hadomi means blood, but it means that he permitted, because he was the Avestin, he was no small potatoes, he was on the top of the judicial court, and he permitted the city of Nov, were all those Kohanim to be wiped out, which the number of the Kohanim there was 85 Kohanim. But nonetheless, they didn't seem to do anything wrong. So Adomi means he was red, which means he allowed redness and blood to be spilled in the city. And another explanation, since you asked, was Rav Nachman, who says, Al Shehiter Damo Shel David, that he allowed David's blood to be spilled. Shomer l'shal, because he told the king, Ben Mavasu, he deserves to die. V'damo mutar, and he's allowed, his blood should be spilled. V'ishto muteres l'nasal acher. And now his wife can also marry whomever she sees fit, because after all, she's married to a person who's already a dead man. So that's another explanation.
David's wife,
right. The king's daughter.
I'm sorry, did I miss what you said? Why was he so enraged with David? Because he was
He was a true leader, and he followed the king. Which also, it's interesting, the language of jealousy. Perhaps he also had his eyes on the throne as well, or political power, being able to have some more control and power than he was. And if David would take over the throne, then he would lose all of it. So that's another interpretation. But all those explanations explain Doeg Ha'adomi, why he's called Edom. So choose your pick.
Why is he asking about Torah? I'm thinking this way. That kind of bothers me.
And
if he's so involved in Torah, learning Torah, then why is he asking this? He's not perfect.
He's not perfect, you could say that. You can also say that the king says that he deserves to die. Who am I to disagree with the king? This is what the king says, and I have to show allegiance to my king. So, I have to have him killed. I have to give orders. In the military, a private king, you have to accept orders. You can't question him.
Did Joel ever ask any of his men to kill David?
He sent a bunch of messengers to David when he was in the house of Shmuel, and they ended up prophesizing, but apparently the purpose of them being sent was to have him killed, I would say. I think so. So, okay, let's move on to Pasuk Tet. V'yomer David l'Achimelech, so David said, V'in yesh po tachas yadcha chanis o chorev, now that you gave me some nice food, thank you very much, next thing I could use is a good sword, spear. Kigam charbi vigam kelai lulakachti biyadi. Can you imagine? I didn't even take any weaponry with me. Kihaya devar hamelch nachutz. Because the words of the king in which he asked me to go, says Mesudasio, nachutz inyan mihiris rab. I had to go lightning fast. I didn't have a chance to grab my weapons, my sword. Do you have anything for me? Do you have anything that you can possibly give me? And the obvious question is, when we were learning all this, the story of the greatness of David, is that when David was faced against the most powerful man that walked the face of the earth, Goliath, he did not need a sword, he did not need a spear, he didn't need any weapons. So now all of a sudden, he's going to start asking for weapons. Does this show lack of emunah and bitachon in David? Maybe. Could be because he was so hungry that he wasn't able to think straight. It's possible. Another explanation is that this is immediately connected to the previous verse of Doeg. He knew that Doeg was going to report this, or maybe Doeg himself would want to kill him. So therefore he said, could you do me a favor? Could you get me a sword? Not that he necessarily needed a sword, but he wanted to be able to show Doeg that if he was going to mess with him, see the sword? Probably it's not a good idea for you to inform me that I'm here. So that's how some people interpret the reason why he asked for the weapons. Because he never needed weapons before, even when he fought Goliath. Why would he need them now? Pasuk Yud. We're going to see that it makes sense when we read this pasuk, the explanation we just said. Pasuk Yud. But Yomer HaKohen, and the Kohen said, what do you think this is? A weapons shop over here? This is a holy sanctuary. What do you think we have? You know what? We do have one weapon. We have one sword. Cherib Goliath HaPelishti Asher Hikisa Be'emek O'Ela. There's this sword from Goliath, which actually, you're the one that killed him. And we put this sword here as a remembrance, that everyone should remember the tremendous nais, the miracle of how Goliath fell in the hands of David. And if you want to get this sword, it's all wrapped up in a cloth that's hidden over here next to the ephod, which is a garment maybe worn by the Kohen Gadol, or it could be regular man's clothing. If you want, go and take it. Go and take it. Ki ein acheres zulasa bazen. There is nothing else but it. Vayomer David, and David, who obviously he knew what he was asking. He said, ein kamoha. There is nothing like it. Tinenali, give it to me. So what is the message? Also, he wasn't just going to be holding up a sword in front of Doeg HaAdomi. He was holding up the sword of Goliath, and he was saying, do not mess with me. Look at this sword. Remember this sword. Remember what happened. That's one explanation. Another explanation is, I did nothing wrong. I deserve to be killed? Look at this sword! I was the most had the most allegiance to your king. I was even willing to give my own life and to fight this huge guy, which fortunately, through a tremendous miracle, I was able to be victorious. So those are some reasons why perhaps he grabbed hold of this sword. And if we look over here, the Radak, the Radak in Pasuk Yud, which is actually on page 141, it's a huge Radak, which we're not seeing. But on the left, on page 141, in the English, the Radak, because it's so long, pours and spills over to the left side of the English. On page 141, on the left column, on the first page, the first line, Achriya Ephod, what is the Ephod? Shehoisa Tliya Achriya Makom, it was hung up in such a place. Shayimunach Ephod Vachoshen, that's where the Ephod and the Choshen, the breastplate were, the special of the garments that the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, wore, that's where the sword was, next to them. Oh, yeah, Perush, another explanation of Ephod, Shohei Ephod Achoshen, El Ephod Bad. It wasn't the special Ephod that the Kohen Gadol wore, but it means the regular garments. For who, Lova Shohei, Lova Shohei, Kohanim Vavi Hashem. Those who served Hashem, even the Kohen Hegit, the regular Kohen, they also wore these special garments, loosely called an Ephod. But the biggest problem is as follows. Where was this sword? The sword was tucked away in some attic, right? It was in the middle of, they had to find it, brush the dust off of the sword. What was the reason why the sword was there? It was a zikaron. It was to remember the tremendous nesa Hashem did for the Bnei Yisrael and for David. If that's so, why would it be in the middle, way in the back? It should be on the middle of the display case, right in the middle of this museum, so everyone should be able to see it. Every single person that walks in. Why is it tucked away and hidden? And why is it right next to the garments of the Kohen Gadol? So some people explain that the significance is that when it comes to the Bnei Yisrael, it's not our strength, it's not our koach that we're able to be victorious. It's Hashem. As we mentioned, the name of the gun is the, which was an Israeli-made gun, is the Uzi, which means this is my strength. But you, the Haftorah, one of the Haftorahs, begins Hashem Uzi. That's where it's taken from. But Hashem is really our strength. So why is it tucked away next to the garments of the Kohen Gadol? It's to show that we don't need a sword. We need to show our allegiance to spirituality, to Ruchnis, to God, just like the Kohen Gadol. And if we're able to do so, we do not need a sword, we do not need any weaponry whatsoever. Okay.
What about the idea that we don't celebrate the death? Like, you know, we only say, have Palos, the best of Pesach, and the Egyptians are around, and so on.
Right. So that, therefore, because of that, we don't want to make a...
display.
Could be.
I
could.
Don't know.
No, it's very possible, because there's a balance. On one hand, we want to publicize that it's a miracle. On the other hand, we don't want to display. First of all, we don't have weapons, certainly in a holy place, right? To cut the stones in the Beis HaMikdash, there was a special
worm,
that was used. Whatever that means, however that was done, because we don't allow any blades in a place which is the Beis HaMikdash, where it's a holy place, a peaceful place. That's why David, who we see was engaged in war and murder and bloodshed, as much as we're going to see he desired so much to build the Beis HaMikdash, he was not allowed to do so. He had to wait until his son, who no coincidence his name was Shlomo, which is Shalom, peace. Only a peaceful person was able to build the Beis HaMikdash. So it's also possible, what you're saying, is that we want to publicize it, but we really can't show it off so much because we don't celebrate war, we don't focus on it. So that's another interpretation.
So how did they cut the animals for the karban? Because the animals were cut up. Was that because it was outside the Beis HaMikdash?
That it was correct.
The altar was outside, so
right.
It was allowed to be outside.
Right. But I mean, if the Beis HaMikdash, which we read about a lot in this week's Parsha, Vayikra, is you think of the Beis HaMikdash, you see the picture is a beautiful, holy, sanctified place. It was really like a slaughterhouse. It was people, animals being sacrificed and killed, and blood pouring everywhere. But
outside, it wasn't indoors.
It was, yeah, it wasn't in the Kodesh, the Kodesh HaKadoshim,
it was
outside. Yeah, it was. But nonetheless, we'll conclude, we won't finish the parak, but when it comes to in Parshas Vayikra, despite all the blood, it was reich nichoach. It was still a beautiful smell. But you would think, if you go to a slaughterhouse, it's not a reich nichoach. But nonetheless, when Hashem would look at all, even the bloodshed and everything, because it was connected to ruchnius, it was connected to elevate ourselves, to elevate ourselves, to higher spiritual heights, because this was a reich nichoach.
I thought
the summit probably helped also, yes. Okay, we'll stop here.